This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, coming up in about 25 minutes, right after the bottom of the hour news. Brock Huard is going to join us for his usual Wednesday visit, and I was planning on talking all kinds of sports stuff with Brock, but he's so fired up about this whole stay-at-home thing. I got another guy who's just had it. And, you know, when you hear about, you know, Brock has two girls in high school and then a younger son. Brock and his wife Molly do, I should say. And when you hear that there is now renewed talk that school may not open this fall. I'm serious about this. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's one of the medical professionals, he said in a Senate testimony that fall school, from his medical perspective, is unlikely.
That the idea of having treatments available or a vaccine to facilitate the reentry of students into the fall term would be something that would be a bit of a bridge too far.
A bridge too far. And he thinks that we have to have at least a medical treatment and preferably a vaccine against coronavirus before we allow kids to congregate in school. And if we won't allow them back in school, then I don't see how you have fall sports. Football, boys soccer, girls volleyball, at least in the district where I coached. Those are the fall sports. I think wrestling. No, wrestling's a winter sport. But, yeah, you're not getting fall sports. And it continues the specter. Down in California, the L.A. mayor says they're going to continue their at-home shutdown for at least three more months. So we're looking at into August now. And if, you know, for the sports leagues, Major League Baseball, they say that they may start playing in empty stadiums by the 4th of July. That's one of the plans that they are tossing out right now. But football, if there's any team in the NFL, any state that says we can't have fans in the stands, then you can't put those teams at such a competitive disadvantage. So then no teams would have fans in the stands. And we have the doctors saying that school is unlikely for our children in the fall. And again, the question becomes, what's this doing to our kids? They aren't learning. These learn from home, remote, virtual classrooms, they're a joke. Our State Department of Education has completely botched any preparedness for learning at home. And so the kids, they aren't getting the socialization. Then you have some kids who are trapped in a nightmarish situation with an abusive, in many cases, a sexually abusive adult who's out of work and drinking too much. And the National Child Sex Abuse Hotline is seeing record numbers. And again, since everybody says, why do you want more death, Monson, by accelerating the reopen of the economy? And based on the data, why do you want more child molestations by delaying the reopen of the economy? I don't think either one of those is a fair way in which to phrase this argument. But seeing as how everybody who wants to stay locked down is using this, you just want to kill more people. Money's more important than human life. Okay, so you just want more children to be sexually molested, right? Okay, and if you don't like that, then don't try playing the equivalency for the people with whom you disagree. And, geez, I've been checking the text messages. There's like three people who just send the same thing over and over. So what's your plan? Which I've said, a million times the last few weeks. I'll keep working from home for as long as possible. Hopefully forever. I don't ever need to go back in the office. I think that most businesses that can accommodate work at home should do so. I think that those who are in any high-risk category should self-quarantine at home. Just choose to stay at home. Don't have your kids who are out socializing come over and visit. I know it sucks. Just don't do it. And for the young and healthy who don't have the option of working from home, get them back to work. But this destroying of the economy, and it's over 20% unemployed now. And this is such a tragedy for these people who have lost jobs, jobs they're passionate about, jobs that, they'd worked a long time to attain, and now they're seeing them just vaporize in this economy. And Jay Inslee doesn't care. He isn't cutting a penny from state government. Not a penny. It's just the private sector that suffers. Let's get to the... And that's kind of related to some of the stuff we have here in the Fastest 15. So what's your best guess, Nicole? Because we've been working on your audio system. And I know a lot of listeners are annoyed at the audio quality, but we're working on it diligently. But do you think, even if I keep working from home, do you think you'll someday go back to the radio station?
Well, I actually really enjoy this working from home thing more than I thought I would. And if we could get the audio sorted out, which I had Comcast out there here this weekend, I'm talking to my Verizon. We are trying hard to get it fixed. But if that all comes through, I'm okay working from home if you are. I don't see much point going in without you.
Yeah, no, I'm perfectly fine working from home for the rest of my career. I'm fine with this. Takes me off the streets. And at some point, it's not a public health thing. It's just this is as efficient. It's even more efficient without commute time. Takes a car off the roads.
A lot of people have a lot of distractions at home, such as kids, spouse, that type of thing. And I just don't. So I'm more productive at home, really. I don't have people to talk to.
I am too. No, I'm working more now than I did when I was going into the office because the time I save in commute, I plow into the show. Last night, about 11:30, before I went up to bed, I sat down and wrote a My Northwest story. I'm just finding more and more opportunity to contribute on all of our platforms. And, while it breaks my heart, all the people who are unemployed, I'm going to work even harder to try to justify my phony baloney job that I have here. I will tell you that at Twitter, you can wear pajama pants forever if you want, because the CEO, Jack Dorsey, just told his workforce that they will be permitted to work from home forever, with the exception of any jobs that cannot be done remotely, like server maintenance. But he says that opening offices will be at their discretion, and he says, but when and if employees come back, that'll be at the employee's discretion. And I hope that's where we end up as a company, that we will have the option of just continuing to work from home. And I would embrace that, to take a car off the road and to be able to plow that extra time into the radio show. I would love that. And then they say they're also going to give every work-at-home employee $1,000 to expense for work-from-home supplies. So this could revolutionize how businesses, the way that they are configured, because are you going to need massive downtown real estate if you've discovered that so many of your employees can work from home? I look at all the TV stations, and they're doing fine with their employees at home and many of their anchors and their weather people? And do they need the massive footprint of expensive downtown real estate that they thought they needed? I just think that we're going to see a new paradigm come out of all of this. And especially when our economy's getting crushed, every industry is going to have to look to be as efficient as possible. So, yeah, I'll keep working at home as long as they will allow.
The traffic, okay, just being able to go somewhere in the afternoon or in the morning. Like, I had to take my car in this morning, and I didn't have to worry about traffic. It was awesome.
Oh, I know. I have a board meeting at 3:30 this afternoon. And if I was at the radio station till 3, I'd be all stressed out about, you know, getting home, getting in front of my computer for a digital board meeting. And now I can just fix myself a little snack and go and hook up. So now it's very efficient. And again, I don't want to sound smug about it, because everything that I'm talking about, every view that I have, is through the prism of just being heartbroken for all the business owners and unemployed workers who are suffering so terribly right now, because that's nobody's representing them. Nobody's representing them.
But we do make life, I mean, those that can work from home make it easier for those that can't work from home to get to work. And so I think it just makes everybody's life easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next up in the fastest 15. Oh, there it is right there. It is. Mr. Douglas. It is one of the most famous concerts of all time. When Nirvana appeared on MTV Unplugged, it was just months before Kurt Cobain committed suicide. And the guitar that he used during this concert is going up for auction. And according to CNN, it's being listed with several other items once owned by Kurt Cobain. And they expect that this guitar will go for over $1 million. And this concert, in retrospect, I watched a bunch of cuts of this concert. I was not the biggest Nirvana fan. I was in the Age demo where I, you know, a lot of my buddies just loved them. But I never dialed into them. I was one of those people, I recognized their greatness. I recognize their significance in revolutionizing the music scene and putting Seattle even more firmly. Seattle already had a pretty good foothold in the grunge scene. But I just personally was not a huge Nirvana fan. But I go back and I watch this Unplugged performance, and I just recognize why it was so brilliant and captivating. Sean, Nicole, either one of you Nirvana fans?
Yes.
Well, I was.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, I was in middle school about the time that he died, so I would say I was a little before Kurt Cobain. I wasn't really there yet. I was still just coming down from New Kids on the Block, you know.
I was definitely into Nirvana when I was in high school. When they came out, I was just all Nirvana all the time. You know, I had their LPs, and then I would go to record stores and just search for, like, the most obscure sort of import CDs that had songs I had never heard of by Nirvana. So,
really?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Nirvana was, and Kurt Cobain specifically, played a big role in my growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that was the case for an awful lot of people, and I understand it. I just, you know, I'm not a fan of the music, but I understand their greatness. So, if you want Kurt Cobain's MTV Unplugged guitar, it's expected to go for about $1 million if you want to snag that baby up. Okay, next up in the fastest 15, more from the world of fake news, as Chuck Todd, host of NBC's Meet the Press. We played the pathetic Jimmy Kimmel lie apology yesterday. Now Chuck Todd is lying in his apology. Chuck Todd was talking about the Attorney General William Barr and the Michael Flynn case. And Chuck Todd on Meet the Press played a clip and then said this.
You brought up Bill Barr. Peggy Noonan, I want you to listen to this Bill Barr answer to a question about what will history say about this. Wait till you hear this answer. Take a listen.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
I was struck, Peggy, by the cynicism of the answer. It's a correct answer, but he's the attorney general. He didn't make the case that he was upholding the rule of law. He was on.
Okay, Chuck Todd specifically says he didn't make the case that he was upholding the rule of law. But if you let that soundbite play for another 8 seconds, that's exactly what William Barr did.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. But I think a fair history would say it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law. It held.
So William Barr said it upheld the rule of law, and Chuck Todd said something 180 degrees different because he cut it off a few seconds early. In other words, just absolute nothing but fake news. And now he pretends that he had nothing to do with that edit.
During the program, we had a soundbite from a CBS News interview with the Attorney General, Bill Barr. In the bite that we aired and commented on, Mr. Barr was asked how he thinks the history of his decision to end the prosecution of the former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, will be written. Mr. Barr answered, quote, "History is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history." In the full version of the interview and transcript, he went on to say, "But I think a fair history would say that it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law." Now, we did not edit that out. That was not our edit. We didn't include it because we only saw the shorter of two clips at CBS.
What an absolute liar. So not only is Chuck Todd a purveyor of fake news, but he's an absolute liar in trying to cover it up. Of course they did the edit at NBC. I've been a TV news producer. I know how it works. He's a stinking liar. He cannot be trusted. He's part of fake news. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Brock Huard joins us for his weekly visit next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, and that means it is time for a very special weekly feature on the Dory Monson Show, as we are joined by Brock Huard, our buddy from Puyallup High School, proud Puyallup Viking. Good afternoon, Brock. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Dory. A bit fired up today. Not gonna lie. Yeah. I think I just am about to boil over. So it's been a slow, patient boil for week after week, and it's really not necessarily about me, but much more about the circumstances that we're just watching unfold around us. And yeah, I think a lot of folks, at least in my circles, are starting to hit their boiling point a little bit.
Well, they say a watched pot never boils, but I've been watching your pot for a while now, mister.
Yes.
And I've seen it coming steady to 212 Fahrenheit. Okay, so what else you worked out? Because the governor, I know that the stay at home has been affecting you, your kids who are so active in sports. In Los Angeles, the mayor of LA said he expects stay at home will go another 3 months at least. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we follow suit here. So of all of this palette of things from which to choose. What has you worked up today?
Yeah, I think it's all of it, Dory. I really do. I mean, I don't think it's any singular slice. That, you know, it's always, and I've got friends on the full spectrum, right? On the right and the left and all different sorts of fun ideological views. And I love that fact. I love that fact, Dory, that I've got a cell phone that I can look at, you know, four or five different text streams, group texts of all sorts of different people with differing views. So I can't just say it's one particular slice, but I know that whenever you give a differing view or a view that's kind of counterculture to where everything is going, people will say, "Oh, I'm sorry for your inconvenience," and "Oh, you have it so bad." And it's not, it really is not about my personal circumstances. It's really what I'm just watching with our youth and our young people. And I feel terrible for them, not just for my kids and my home, but, you know, to watch so many of these high school kids and junior high kids and the youth that, you know, I think the data has been really clear over the last 2 to 3 months as we have tried to learn, to look in retrospect a little bit in what we're actually learning and seeing what this virus does to young people, and to see them just continue to be holed up without play, without interaction, without growth, without friendship, without education. A friend of mine was telling me about a teacher at their school that's been doing virtual learning really from day one, and said, yeah, it was interesting. The teacher said it finally hit. The kids finally, after about 7 weeks, and this is a great class of kids, but she could feel these elementary school kids, like, not turning in assignments, like, just they're done. They need interaction. They need the social interaction. They need the social love. They need to grow and develop in that way. And that, to me, I think is the hardest to watch all this unfold, because the science and data and those numbers are really clear when it comes to the young people and the effect this virus has on them.
Well, before I get into the science and data, you sent me a text yesterday. You were just on fire because you were at the grocery store and something that had not previously happened to you happened at the store yesterday. So
have you had this interaction yet, you know, with someone that's asking you about, you know, and you can just feel some of their anger and their tension, you know, and he came up to me and just said, can I ask you something? You know, and it was one of those, oh, I know where this is going, right? Immediately, just by tone and tenor and body language and everything, you just feel it. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I could tell this wasn't, are the Huskies going to be good, or the Seahawks, or are we going to have baseball or football, or it wasn't anything like that. He's like, I just want to ask you why you're choosing to not wear a mask in the grocery store. And it was just a belittling. It was just a, how dare you? And, you know, it caught me. It just kind of got my blood rushing a little bit. And I said, well, you know, we're keeping our distance. It's certainly not a packed grocery store by any means. And I'm honoring our 6 feet. In fact, you know, this is kind of breaking that 6 feet right now by, you know, having this conversation. And I have the freedom to make a choice, and you have a freedom, and I'm not judging you for wearing one. And I think, you know, we can honor our social distancing and do so without it, you know? And yeah.
But this guy, he decided for that moment in time that he was the boss of you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that he knew better, and, you know, and I kind of also left going, man, I did not have a great response to that. Right?
That was the other thing that intrigued me, because that's what you were texting me. You said, I wish I had handled it differently. And we all do that when we walk away from a conversation. So what do you wish you had done differently?
Well, just, you know, what are you listening to? Just kind of engage back, right? Like, what science are you listening to, you know, to drive around in your car with gloves and a mask? Like, is this an airborne virus that we're going to catch 6 feet apart? Or, you know, just tell me your feelings and just try to have that, Dory. I'm not a confrontational person by nature. I'm not. My dad is a Hall of Fame high school football coach. It was an amazing coach, but he doesn't love confrontation. And I think that's largely been in our DNA, is we try to treat everybody pretty nicely and with respect. And I'm not great a confrontation. I don't really necessarily like that, even in my job. Formerly being on the radio every day in the media, or you know, as an analyst, I'm not always great. I try to be as blunt and as honest and have, you know, a kind of concrete analysis for it. So I guess that's probably where and why I shot you that text is, you know, when I make a constructive criticism during a football broadcast, or if I have to sit across from Pete Carroll, right, and I disagree with him about how, you know, philosophy or scheme or run plays or whatever, like I've got a pretty thorough background and analysis on that. You know, when challenged in this way and confronted in this way, I just, yeah, you're right. It felt like someone shaming me and telling me, like, I'm right, you're wrong, and how dare you not wear your mask?
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is, I was talking at the beginning of the show today, when Jay Inslee announced the reopening, and I know you've been driving to Yakima, to Puyallup, to support restaurants that you like, but now he says we can start reopening restaurants, but some of the rules, Brock, are so arbitrary and bizarre. You can have a party of five or less, but not six. So if my wife and I want to go out to dinner with our three daughters and son-in-law, we can't do that. And I'm trying to figure out, is there science that suggests that five or less were safe, six of us were contributing to a pandemic? The restaurants have to throw away every menu after every use. So that's going to add thousands a month to these restaurants that are already beleaguered. And I'm just, where's the science that supports any of this arbitrary nonsense that they're just cramming down our throats?
Yes. And, you know, I guess also kind of to my point, Dory, about trying to be transparent and answer questions. And I've gotten into some pretty good confrontations with coaches over the years. And, you know, and some of them get to be a little uncomfortable, and some can be emotional, be it in production meetings or, you know, Jim Mora had his way with me in a public forum and just put me on blast. And, you know, I've had kind of those different confrontations, but there's a back and forth, right? There's at least a level of transparency. I was asking you before I jumped on, I said, hey, you know, with these press conferences that you're reacting to, where is the back and forth? Right. Where's the questions? Where is that question to him? Where can I hear a reporter? Where is that room full of reporters that, you know, want to express a differing view and want the answers to questions?
It's not allowed.
I'm not hearing it.
It's not allowed.
But Dory, how is that possible in this day? What do you mean it's not allowed? Where's the freedom of press?
You can hear it on my radio show because I break down his press conferences the next day. But as far as the reporters at the press conference, they ask their question and then their phone is placed on mute. So they cannot ask a follow-up. So when Jay Inslee was asked, hey, what about you fast-tracking your cousin's private email to the front of the line to try to get millions in state contracts for his business? And Jay Inslee just said, yeah, that's baloney. And then he moved on. And there was no follow-up, even though the Seattle Times had painstakingly detailed how Inslee had engaged in this cronyism and nepotism. They don't allow follow-up questions. And that's how tyranny happens, Brock, when you have an unchecked government and a press that isn't allowed to question them.
You know, and again, I live in a sports world. That's what I've done for 44 years of my life, Dory. And I'm trying to imagine if Pete Carroll, after a Super Bowl loss or after a playoff loss or after any game, I'm going to only answer the questions I want to, or you're going to be on mute, or I'm not even going to engage with you, or, you know, just not even have that level of just kind of transparency. There is so much lost. I just don't understand that. I don't understand how you're closing schools 90 days beforehand, right? As you're seeing in the California college systems down there already. How do we know that? What have we learned over the last 90 days? Aren't we willing to look at numbers? Aren't we willing to look at science? Aren't we willing to look at this data? Or do we just have to look at it and just never even agree on any data point other than what you want to see done with your ideological view? I mean, where is that discourse? Where is that conversation? I'm grasping. I don't understand it. And I think that's probably why I'm staring at that water, you know, boiling at 220 degrees or whatever, going.
You know what I'm loving, though, Brock? I'm loving a Brock Huard who is so fired up about this that you're ready to just let her rip outside of the sports world. and let everybody know how you feel about this.
Yes, Dory, but you know what? For 10 years on my radio show, I worked with a guy, and Mike Salk, not a guy, you know, a peer, a friend, a great coworker, who made me better. You know, our radio show was better because we saw things totally different and still do to this day and age, 10 years later. But you know what we could do? We could sit and have discourse at times emotionally. Sure. Did I change his view? Did he change mine? No. Did my cynicism grow from 0 to 30? Maybe his come from 100 down to 70? Probably. But we could have that discourse, and we're just not having it. And there's no way in the world you can tell me that is healthy for any society, for any leadership, for any government, or any community. It isn't.
That's why we love having Brock Huard on every Wednesday. You're on fire today.
Over the hump today.
Well over the hump. You flattened the hump today. All right, Brock, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Dory.
Good stuff. All right, Brock Huard every Wednesday here on The Dory Monson Show. Lots more straight ahead as The Dory Monson Show
rolls on.
There we go. I have a lot of stuff that I'm going to lay out for you in the Big Lead of Two coming up next. But the latest from Eastside Catholic High School. I still say, and I asked all the parents at Eastside Catholic a couple of weeks ago, with the reports that have come out about how the school that you pay $27,000 a year tuition to supposedly, among other things, give your kids a faith-based education, and when you find out that they cared more about winning football games than any values, as a 16-year-old girl was sexually assaulted, allegedly, by four of their football players. Now we have the big brawl that happened with the football team. The latest there and on the governor's budget. Next, the Dory Monson Show.